Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. You've blessed us in so many ways, but especially the blessing of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be appreciative of this. Help us show your love to others. Help us live the light of Christ in our life before others, that they would even desire the same salvation that we have through your Son. Aid us in every way by your Holy Spirit. Draw the lost as only you can, and help us as your people to walk close to you. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 6 today. We left off last week showing that it was by Adam's sin that all of us became sinners. His sin has been imputed to all men. It's been passed down. But through Christ and his righteousness, salvation is offered to whosoever would turn by faith and believe upon Christ. And so, leaving that aside, or adding unto that, really, because of what we have in Christ, and because we know that we're saved, and because of the righteousness comes not of our flesh, but because of the faith in Christ, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now, notice what he is saying here. This is a very important scripture. It goes to doctrine of the utmost extent. That he is saying, you know what? Because we're saved and because it's not of works, because it's of faith, because we can't lose our salvation, should we just live in sin? Should we just commit sin, you know, because the more we sin, that means the more grace that God is showing to us. So should we just live in sin? And, you know, we get accused of this as Baptists all the time. And people don't even notice that that scripture is talking directly to that subject. Should we live in sin because we can't lose our salvation, because it's kept by God and because it's holy through our faith in Christ and not of works? Should we just continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now notice the word there. Notice the wording there. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin? Now dead here doesn't mean we can't commit sin, but sin no longer has dominion over us. It no longer has the power and sway over us, because after we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us to war against the spirit of our flesh. And the Bible plainly says that greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. And so he's letting us know here. And now, let me remind us of what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But after we're saved, he says that we're dead to sin. Again, not that our fleshly bodies cannot commit sin, but it doesn't have dominion over us. Therefore, why should we live in sin? Why should we live in the lust of our flesh if we've been freed from it through Christ? If God's given us the tools to defeat our flesh, why would we still dwell in the sins of our flesh? That makes no sense. And that's why I said, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now this baptism here that he's talking about is the act of a good conscience toward God. And what does it represent? That we're going to see here, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it represents for us that are saved the death of our old man and the birth of the new man that arises in and lives for Christ, or in Christ Jesus after we're saved. It is a very symbolic thing that we see here. And of course, in the New Testament church, when they first started preaching this, it was just assumed if you've received the gift of God, you would want to be baptized. You'd want to be a part of his church. You'd want to share him with others, having that gift within you. That's just a natural thing. But he uses baptism as an example here. We were baptized into what? Death. Well, what dies? It's supposed to be our flesh, isn't it? It's supposed to be our sinful nature. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. Notice how he uses baptism, which means to bury anyway, and then he even uses the illustration with baptism that it's to bury. And I've never gone to a cemetery where they just sprinkled some dirt on the body. They dig a hole, they totally cover the body and cover it up. And that is the only way of scriptural baptism. It's not by immersion, it's not scriptural. If it doesn't come after salvation, it's not scriptural. If it's not done by a true church, it's not scriptural. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's saying just because salvation is by grace through faith and not of works doesn't mean we should live in our flesh. He says the exact opposite. Because we've received this gift and this grace of God through Jesus Christ, we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, and when you plant something, you do what? You dig a hole in the ground, you stick it in the ground, you cover it up with dirt. Again, referring to baptism, it's a covering, it's a burial, it's immersion. And if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He's saying there should be a difference in us after we're saved. There should be a difference in us in how we walk and how we live as Christians after we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for salvation, but because of the gift of salvation. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. What does crucified mean? Put to death. Crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. What did Paul say? I die daily. I crucify my flesh daily. This body is supposed to be destroyed, the lust, the desires of it, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin should no longer be our master after we're saved. It should no longer be the driving force in our life. It should be Christ that's driving us. It should be Christ that's leading us. Christ that's guiding us. The things of the Word of God that's leading us. Not our selfish, sinful flesh. And people wonder why we preach against things like homosexuality. To live in a sin like homosexuality is to live in your flesh instead of yield your body unto God. To live in fornication as a saved person is to yield to your flesh. To live in adultery as a saved person is to live in your flesh. To let your mouth be cursing and a gossiper and a backbiter in these things is to live in your flesh instead of give your body and your life unto God. To get divorced, and again, I've said this many times with divorce, I know there's some people that couldn't help get a divorce. The other person wanted it, they left them, they forced them into it, the person didn't desire it. I've known people who have gone through things like that. But people who choose to get a divorce, who choose to quit, who choose to give in and say, I deserve better, I want something better. Who quit and move on a commitment you've made before God and witnesses to death do us part? Dear friend, there's plenty of scripture on that. To live in sin is to be at enmity with God and is to deny the gift that has been given us in Christ and is to say, I am more important than what God wants for me in my life. Now, all of us have failures, and all of us have sin. But there is a difference between a person who commits a sin versus somebody who wants to live in that sin. See, the biggest problem I have with homosexuality is not that I can't understand that somebody might be having a desire that they're fighting off, or might be having something that they're dealing with, same way with a fornicator or an adulterer or things of this nature. It's when we give in to those things and we start saying, you must accept the sin that I'm living in, that's when I go, oh no. I don't have to accept anybody living in sin. Because to live in sin is to deny God in your life. And it is the greatest form of idolatry because you're saying what I want is more valuable than what God has told me. We're supposed to crucify our flesh. To put aside what we want for what God wants. Especially when it comes to issues of sin. We're even to do that with some things just because they don't work for edification. They don't work for the benefit of the body. And we're supposed to even sacrifice those things for the benefit of the work of God. If we're going to do that for things that are not even a sin, we surely should do it for things that are sin. Clearly spelled out in the Scripture. But there's some people who don't want to crucify their flesh, who don't want to mortify their bodies. They want to live in lust. They want to live in selfishness. They say, it's my life, my way, and I'll do it however I want to. And that's not a follower of Christ. That's a follower of self. That is idolatry. And we as God's people need to preach against it every chance we get and call people to repentance from that unholy lifestyle and sin. Not just the one of homosexuality, but if they're in adultery, if they're in fornication, if they're lying, if they're thieving, if they're greedy. Yeah, I mean, you can go down the list. If somebody's wanting to live in sin and justify that sin, and not just say that they've committed a wrong, but they want to live in the wrong, we need to greatly preach against that. Because it goes against what baptism represents. That they're to crucify. We're to be crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, or it should not be the Lord or ruler over us. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If by salvation we truly become dead unto sin, you've been free from it. You ever read back in the Old Testament? And you see Israel come out of slavery and bondage of Egypt. I mean, horrible things. They were even killing their sons and things of this nature. I mean, it was hard what they were going through and what they were facing. I mean, they spent 400 years in that condition. 400 years in bondage there in Egypt, in slavery. You ever read where God brings them out and they're in the wilderness and all of a sudden they're talking and saying, you know, it'd be better if we could go back and be slaves in Egypt. You ever read that and go, do what? You want to go back and be a slave? Have you lost your mind? I mean, who in the world who's been free from slavery wants to go back into slavery? But they're walking around in the wilderness and they're going, you know, there's times that we get thirsty and there's times that we get hungry and we don't like the walking. And well, it would be better if we were just back in a place that we knew. And they say, we want to go back to slavery in Egypt. I read that sometimes and I go, what? But then I realize a lot of times as human beings, we do exactly that. God frees us from sin, and then we walk right back into it. God delivers us from those things, and we say, man, look at that club over there. Look at that alcohol over there. Look at those drugs over there. Look at this woman over here. Look at this man over here. Look at all the lust and the things that I can accomplish and the things that I can do. And we don't notice that sin is bondage. Sin is slavery. We've been freed from it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you want to go back to it? Because slavery, sin, carries bondage. It holds you down. But see, the devil wants to tell you that bondage is liberty. And it's not. Oh, God wants to keep you from this enjoyment. No, He doesn't. God wants to keep you from the torture, the torment of what you think is enjoyment. You don't believe that? Go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Don't believe that? Go to a drug rehab place. You don't believe that? Look at the suicide rate amongst young people in our day and time and against the homosexual area and against the transgender area and all these others. They don't see that it's bondage. It's not liberating to live in sin. It's bondage. How many people are on medications today for depression? Got more money than we've ever had. Got more free time than we've ever had. Got the world at our fingertips. The poor in America today have more than most kings have had throughout all the existence of the earth. We get to take hot showers every day. We get air conditioned. We get heat during the winter time. We've got closets full of clothes. Shoes galore. We want food to eat. We eat steak when we want to. If you want to eat steak every day, kings didn't get to eat steak every day. You want to go get seafood? You can eat seafood every day. We drive in fancy cars that get us around every day more than a lot of people went in their whole lifetimes. And we do it in a day. We go on a vacation in a week and we go places that other people could only dream about going. Or if they did go, they would have to take 6 months or a year to go and visit that place and to come back. We go there and then we get back and we're like, where's the next place? Seen it, done it, do something else. We don't even see all that we have and yet we're depressed. Because you know why? The reason we're not fulfilled is because sin is bondage. And the reason that a lot of people going to church are not happy is because they're living in bondage and not in the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yeah. One day we're going to go be where he is, aren't we? We're going to go live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He didn't die multiple times. He died once. We don't have to be saved multiple times. You're saved once. Death hath no more dominion over you. Let me make this very plain. The only reason you commit sin is because you yield yourself to your body instead of the Spirit of God. Now, we're all going to have a failure somewhere along the way. None of us are sinless, even after salvation. We know that. But there's some Christians that don't even know that they have the power to overcome their flesh. And a lot of the reasons that they don't, and they say, oh, I can't, and I can't, and I can't, you're calling God a liar. The only reason you really haven't let go of that sin is because in your heart you don't want to let go of that sin. And you haven't really turned it over to God and asked him to help you with it. And really given it to him. Sometimes we might not like the sin that we're doing, but we sure like committing it. We might not be happy once we're done committing it. But the reason you do the sin is because you like it. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's the truth. But because of Christ, sin no longer has to have dominion over us. It's no longer the king and the ruler of our life because we have the Spirit of God to overcome the spirit of our flesh. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye, we that are saved, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Do we really believe that? Do we really press toward that mark? Do we trust in God to deliver us from that? Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Do we believe that God really transforms us? Behold, old things are passed away. All things become new. Do we believe that? Do we trust in it? Do we follow it? Or do we see something that we want and we start walking towards it? Sometimes we'll say the prayer, the example prayer, what some call the Lord's Prayer. We'll say, God, deliver me from temptation. And then we walk right into temptation. We tempt ourselves. We bring ourselves into temptation. Don't we know that we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ? We don't have to serve that flesh. We don't have to let it have dominion over us. But I will say this. When we talk about the spirit that dwells in us versus the spirit of our flesh that also we deal with until we get our new bodies, you've got those two natures within you that are warring against one another according to the Scripture. You know which one's going to succeed? The one you feed the most. There's people who don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't go to church. They don't fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They just do what they want, day in and day out. They watch the movies they want. They listen to the ungodly music that they want to. And I'm not calling anything that's not gospel ungodly. I tell you to listen to the lyrics. I tell you to listen to the music. If it's upholding godly things, that's fine. If it's going against godly things, that's a different subject. If you're feeding off of anger, if you're feeding off of wrath, if you're feeding off of lust of the flesh, if you're a Christian that says, man, fornication's wrong, ooh, but let me watch this dirty movie over here. What do you think you're going to do? If you're feeding the flesh instead of feeding the Spirit, which one do you think is going to win? You can't starve the Spirit every day and expect to live spiritually. And you can't feed the flesh every day and expect the flesh not to overcome you. Because you're feeding it, you're giving in to it. If you want to overcome the flesh, you've got to go radical. You just do. You got to go radical. I'm talking about for your life. You got to deny your flesh. You've got to not lead yourself into temptation. You've got to feed on the Word of God. You've got to pray and seek God. You've got to yield yourself unto Him and see what He wants for you and not what you want to do. Let me even show you this example in Scripture. One of the biggest problems that we have today is people go through their Bible and they say, well, what will God allow me to do? Well, you're going to find that God allows you to do quite a bit. What does God desire you to do, though? If you're studying your Bible trying to seek out, well, what can I get away with? You're going to have a totally different set of doctrines than a person that reads their Bible and says, God, what would you have me to be? Because what God allows and what God desires for you is two totally different things. And if you're not even studying your Bible from the right perspective, you're going to see the wrong doctrines. We are more than conquerors through Christ. But only if you let Christ truly rule and reign in your life. If sin is no more your Lord, then you need a Lord to take that place. If the Lord's you, then that's your flesh, isn't it? That sin. If the Lord is Christ and you submit yourself unto Christ. He says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign. Reign means what? To have control, to have dominion. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He makes a statement here, as those that are alive from the dead. In other words, it's those who are really the children of God, those who have been saved. In other words, if you're saved, act like it. If God's delivered you from your flesh, then act like He's delivered you from your flesh. Don't yield yourself back to that. Don't let sin have dominion over you when God's freed you from it. Let Christ have the dominion over you. Somebody is going to rule over you. It's either going to be your flesh or it's going to be Christ. It's either going to be what you want, what the world wants, or it's either going to be what God wants. Who are you going to let be your king? Who are you going to have to rule and reign over you after you're saved? You going to go back to your flesh? Which destroys your witness? Destroys God's ability to bless and use you? Are you going to yield unto the things of God that God can use you and help you to be a blessing to others and point others even to His Son? He said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And because we're under grace, we're not under all that bondage. We're not doing this because we have to. We're doing it because we know it's better, because we're free. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Shall I commit sin just because I'm free through Christ? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Do ye not see that if we're not living for God, we're missing the blessings of God, and if we're living to ourselves, we're depressing and and going against the Spirit of God? He says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh." Notice what he says. "I'm going to speak to you after men because I know that you have a flesh to deal with. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Be a new creature in Christ Jesus. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You were free from the grace of God. You were free from the blessings of God. You were free from even the eternal blessings that come through Jesus Christ. You were free from all of that." He says, "What fruit had ye then?" Notice where he turns to. What fruit? Now, if I had no fruit as a lost person, why would I want to live having no fruit after I've trusted Christ when God's given me the ability to bear fruit to lay up treasure in heaven? Why would I do that? That makes no sense, does it? "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Can I help anybody else while living in sin? Can I be a blessing and point people to Christ while living in sin? No. I'm a hindrance, a stumbling block. "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Now we have our everlasting life through Christ, but we're able to point others to everlasting life because of what God has done for us. But if I live like the world, I'm not going to encourage too many people to trust in Christ, am I? "For the wages of sin is death." Now you put that into context. This verse is very powerful in and of itself. Put it in context. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What are you doing with your gift? Are you wasting it? Are you throwing it aside? Are you being a hindrance and a stumbling block from others trusting in Christ and leading them to hell in the lake of fire? Are you pointing them to the love, mercy, and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus? What are you doing? What are you doing with the gift you have? What are you doing with the blessings that God has given you? Using it selfishly? You hiding it under a bushel? You digging a hole in the ground and sticking your talent in there? And saying, "I'll be ready for judgment day." Or are you investing in other people so that they can have the gift of eternal life that you have? How are you using it? It's something we need to consider as we go forth in this life and consider what God has called us to be, what He desires us to be, and what Satan would like us to be. Who are we yielding ourselves to after salvation? What are we doing with the gift of God and of everlasting life through Jesus Christ? I pray this could be a blessing and encouragement to us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. We pray this could be a blessing. To Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory. For the good accomplished through it, let us step aside and give You the praise. For it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.